Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
Hi. My name is Heido Gomez. I use he, him pronouns. And that's Gomez, not Gomez. There were too many Gomez's in Mexico, so my family decided to add an A. I rewrote this a million times, but something about a week ago happened, and I felt it changed everything for me recently. Linda Becerra Moran was a 30-year-old trans Ecuadoriana and sex worker living in Los Angeles. She carried a 5-pound statue of La Virgen de Guadalupe with her from shelter to shelter. Linda believed in the protection and peace associated with her faith. On February 7th, she called LAPD after she had been sex trafficked and held in a motel against her will. She told the operator that she felt suicidal, not knowing how she had ended up in that hotel room. She called for help in fear of what would happen to her. When police arrived, she explained she needed medical help. She didn't need police. When police approached her, she held a knife to her own throat, but she was shot. Linda was absentee booked for assault with a deadly weapon against a peace officer, despite police footage showing she did not threaten or approach officers. She died on February 27th, when hospital personnel stopped life support after failing to communicate with her family in Ecuador. LAPD would not release the details of her death until weeks later. No details were released regarding the investigation or detention of Linda's captor. Her family is now suing LAPD for her wrongful death. I heard about Linda about a week ago, and since I have read her story, I cannot separate myself from it. I cannot disconnect my heartbreak from hers. I wonder what her life could have been, and I marvel at mine. I could see her sitting on a park bench, or having a cup of coffee, maybe offering a prayer. For many, calling emergency services comes without question in times of crisis. But for trans people of color like Linda and I, a call to emergency services can and will result in death. My joy has been elusive lately, and I cannot speak of hope and happiness as much as I want to. I have hope for change, but not in systems that exist. I believe in neighborly affection and community gatherings. I believe in circles of faith and kinship. I believe in the closeness of people above systems deemed safe for all. Community is a privilege that must be maintained precisely because we dignify our existence and our humanity through them. My only trans relative, Ale, once told me that being trans is a gift because you know yourself better than anyone else. The intimacies of finding your truth will be deeper than others can fathom. I cannot disconnect my transness from being brown, just as much as I cannot disconnect my heart from my soul. The two are reflections of each other and impact how people see me. And I invite those of you who are not trans to reflect on the ways you move through the world and how you might actually stand on the values you have through action. I invite those of you who are trans to take a deep breath. You are no one's martyr, and your existence does not inherently invite pain and violence into your life. I often say we take care of us because I truly believe it. We must take care of us. Only we can take care of us. Being trans is having the divine gift of creation. It is the joy of knowing what it is to create humankind. I pray we learn the lessons of those before us and we leave active legacies behind us by putting actions to our values. I pray for the trans friends and family I have lost. May we continue to learn from their power and grace. I pray we all know justice, freedom, and peace beyond measure. Thank you.
My name is Cody Storms, and I use they, ze, and he pronouns. That means that I am not entirely a man, and I am definitely not a woman. I'm very proud that being a drag king for 2 years in California helped me feel more sure of my gender identity. But because of my voice and my facial hair and the way I present myself now on testosterone, I often hear people referring to me as he, him only. It's a very weird problem to have. I'm glad I'm not seen as a woman, but hearing myself referred to only as a binary man does not feel right either, when my gender is more queer than that. The pronoun ze or zem, spelled ze or xe depending on personal preference, is supposed to be a way to ease the struggle of a binary person like he, a binary pronoun like he or she. But it's also a singular pronoun for one individual compared to the pronoun they, that confuses people for being plural. These are called neopronouns, and there's others too, like Z spelled Z-E. Some people want to be referred to as it. Some people like V or ver, fe or fem, ni or nim. And if it sounds endless and dry, that's kind of because it is. They're all the same thing. They're just words replacing having to say somebody's name over and over again. Pronouns are just a way to simplify the human language. But if my pronouns make referring to me too complicated, then you could just say my name. You're acknowledging me either way, which is good enough to start with. But eventually people will notice when you refer to someone only by name over and over, and you'll sound more ridiculous than if you just learned it the right way the first time. If you go into meeting someone with no assumptions of their identity and openness to however they present themselves to you, it'll be far easier and more peaceful and respectful. I'm not up here asking you to understand my identity as someone genderqueer, transmasculine, bisexual, demisexual. There's a lot of words. But I am asking you to listen. If you have any respect for me, you'll listen to me when I tell you my pronouns, and you'll use them, all of them. You'll use my pronouns interchangeably, and you'll listen when I tell you that pronouns are nothing to be scared of. And you should listen when I tell you that I am far more scared of the state of the world than I am having to correct you on my identifying pronouns once or twice. Something like that is a mistake that I'm willing to correct. The federal government repealed actions protecting queer people from being surveyed and tracked, so I have far more things to be scared of right now. I fear too many things to protest as myself right now. My only options are complete stealth, wearing all black, nothing on me that is recognizable, and no phone on me to protect myself with the numbers of loved ones written on my arm. Or stealth as a cis man, pretending that I am not who I am, and there as a legal observer, as a law student for learning, and not there in support of either side. I have a passport and a go bag by the door of my apartment at this very moment. I need you to understand and respect the deep-rooted fear instilled in trans people right now. Listen to me when I tell you that I am scared every day, and respect who I am in a place that is supposed to be safe for all of us. In this sanctuary and on Zoom and in your homes, respect each other's pronouns, names, and identities, because it is the first step to keeping each other safe. Do what you can for those who can't. Do the endless dry things. Learn the pronouns, understand why they help someone's identity, and protest if you can and when you can. A basis of love here, at the very least, is somewhere we should and can all be safe. I am here today because I do feel loved and safe in this space, so I want to thank you all for that. And I don't say these things to be negative, I say these things to be honest. Just as I can honestly say to every transgender and queer person in this place and on Zoom, that life is still worth living right now. There is not a world that should not have you in it. We are strong and we are proud, and we can find joy and love within each other, even when it seems hard. We will be okay if we take things step by step and day by day. I love you all.
Haha, you haven't seen me up here before. My name is Beck Zare, as many of you know. My pronouns are they, them. I'm non-binary and AFAB, meaning assigned female at birth, meaning someone else decided my chromosomes equals a girl, and someone decided something like that for you too. But I remind you that you make the choices about who you are. I could talk to you all for 5 minutes about what gender means to me, but that's not the point of this. Those conversations, notice not a single conversation, are for all of us to be bringing to every circle we're a part of. We all have a responsibility of recognizing and dismantling the impacts and harm of gendered systems, not just trans and non-conforming folks. So now let's shift gears. I'm gonna tell you about my mom. My mom's name is Linda. Sorry, I mean the captain. She's an AFAB cis woman, an accountant, a costume designer, a mother, a cancer survivor, and a lover of telling stories, sometimes the same ones repeatedly. She grew up in Buffalo, New York, in the suburbs. She was anxious and shy growing up. She didn't have many friends. She was a straight A student, except history was hard. She was and is a flute player and loves to sing along with ABBA songs. She's the oldest of three kids. She isn't very athletically coordinated, although her gym teachers thought she should be at basketball, good at basketball because she's tall. She grew up in a Presbyterian church and went to a Mennonite college. But most incredibly, she's my mom. Growing up, my mom and I were always at each other's necks, especially when I was a teenager. There was lots of arguing and disagreeing, and sometimes just because. I could give a list of all the things we butted heads on, like mandatory Sunday dresses or the three-person in a car rule, but we'd be here all day. Basically, when my mom and I were insistent on misunderstanding each other, of holding on to the idea that the other would never be able to see how we felt, we always found a way to disagree and be in conflict. When I came out as gay at 16 years old, it was the beginning of building a bridge. In that moment of bravery, of asking her to see me and see who I was, it was a ceasefire of sorts. After so much fighting, we had to admit to each other and ourselves that it was getting us nowhere. If we wanted to have any sort of loving relationship, it was time to listen and learn about each other. And no, everything did not change in an instant, and no growth ever really will. At first, she was confused, hurt, mistrusting, and at first so was I. I still had held on to the idea that she would never understand what being queer was like. And so I resented her for that. I resented her for not meeting me at my truth immediately. We saw each other in fixed boxes. A controlling mother who thought girls should look and love a certain way, and a rebellious child who insisted on being difficult and rejecting everything out of selfishness. But over time, we began talking. I would tell her how I felt, and she would tell me how she felt. Yes, it was messy. Yes, there was yelling. Yes, there were tears. And then it happened all over again, an offering of truth, when I came out as non-binary at 19. Homosexuality was something she was able to grasp, as she had known of it her whole life, even though she never really engaged knowingly with queer people. However, gender was completely a new issue to address. She had never given it much thought, and suddenly I was asking her to, even demanding her to. At first, I was angry that she couldn't pick up on my pronouns, couldn't switch to calling me back immediately. When I came out to my college friends and peers, they met me where I was at pretty quickly. So why couldn't my mom? I resented her. I thought I understood exactly her intentions. Over the years, and still to this day, we have had many conversations involving questions and explanations and crying and confusion and epiphanies and laughter. There are still plenty of things we don't agree on, and that is okay. In fact, you cannot possibly align and agree perfectly with anyone. In trying to understand each other, my mom and I had to get creative. For example, instead of calling my sister and I girls, she started calling us citas. There's a lot of random backstory there, trust me. I talked about the importance of my name, which she was able to compare loosely to my aunt wanting to be called Kim instead of Kimberly. Those are just a few things. Eventually, my resentment disappeared. I realized that in trying to defend myself, to holding my ground and demanding she understood who I was not making any room to understand her. But as I have practiced being more open, I have come to understand so much. In that period of time, my mom acted mostly out of fear, not hate. Fear of losing me, losing our relationship. She would often become overwhelmed when she didn't understand something, because for her whole life she had followed a set path that she understood. Being a good student, going to college, beginning a stable career, marrying, having a family. But amidst it all, my mom has grown and changed so much throughout her life. She has learned to let go of control and just do her best to keep going, even through cancer. And she doesn't care about getting things perfect anymore. She doesn't listen to her anxiety so much anymore. She designs costumes for musicals. She substitute teaches at the local schools. She does bookkeeping for church and summer camp. She values her communities. My mom is resilient. She is loving and understanding, even through the most difficult circumstances. And she is always learning. And it took me time to truly see her. But by showing up, even when it was hard, asking questions, and listening to each other, we have created a strong relationship. Last week, I was at an event called Boston Big Sing, where we spent all day connecting through singing circles, improvising, moving, and communing together. During the headliner workshop with Tracy L.J. Robertson, we did an exercise with a partner in which each group created a common language, gibberish, if you will. The exercise only lasted for about a minute, but suddenly we were staring strangers in the eye, sitting close, laughing, gesturing, and telling stories together. We were trying to meet each other where we were. There was no need to defend ourselves or uphold our egos. When we were simply creating something together, we had to be fully present. We had to listen. We had to be open. While we focus on our differences, our individualism, that this nation loves to shove down our throats, we leave out the reality, the truth, that in many ways, we are all the same. Every person across political lines, every community across race, every human across gender, every living being. And we all want to be seen, to be heard, to be understood. And so we all have a responsibility to see, to listen, to speak, and to understand each other. Trans and gender nonconforming folks are just people, living beings with innate rights and worth. And we must all stand up and speak out with that truth. This next song is one I wrote in response to feeling too different for people to understand. It is a love letter to myself, and I hope it can be a love letter to you as well. I'll conclude with this. All of these labels can't even touch me. Look at me. All you'll see is a soul.
I want to just take a moment of deep thanksgiving for the stories and truths shared this morning. And to share, as we begin our benediction, the words of my colleague Sean Neil Barron, who some of you might know from doing his student ministry here just over a decade ago, in response to an anonymous message of hate that he received at his congregation in Colorado. He wrote this response. There is a love wider than fear, deeper than control, queerer than any of us were taught to expect. A love that delights in people becoming more themselves, not less. A love that whispers to every trans and non-binary kid, you are real, you are holy, you are enough. And while many Unitarian Universalists aren't Christian, I can answer the question you pose. What kind of Christian love affirms trans kids? The kind that actually listens to Jesus. The kind that knows that fear is not faith. The kind that understands love was never meant to be a cage. It was meant to set us free. And here's the truth. A child discovering who they are is a blessing. A child being safe enough to tell the truth is a joy. A child being met with love instead of shame is a gift. So here's my street corner megaphone sermon. Life is vast. Love is vaster. And if your faith has to erase someone to feel safe, that's not faith, that's fear. But good news. There's a better way. It's big and bright and free. And whether you believe it or not, you are already held in that love. May you know it someday. May you let it in. May you freaking sparkle. Amen. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.